Jordan's already said that today's text is the fifth commandment. You can turn there in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. This commandment relates to the family. So I wonder, how do you feel about the future of the family as you think about the family in the United States? A recent Pew Research finding states that only 25% of Americans are optimistic about the family. Maybe you're more optimistic about your own family, or maybe you're not. I don't particularly know. In 1970, 67% of 25 to 49-year-olds were married with children. Today, that's 37%. Fewer are getting married, and they're doing so at an older age than we have in the past. In fact, CNN reports that there are 24 million children under the age of 18 who live with an unmarried parent. 24 million children with an unmarried parent. They said that's one out of three. And if you rank, they ranked 130 countries. The United States was 130th out of the 130. So we are an outlier compared to many other countries in terms of how many children grow up with only one parent. In Wilkinsburg, 23.5% are married and 50% have never been married. And the Pittsburgh Foundation reports that 89% of households that are below the poverty line in Allegheny County are headed by a single parent. 89% of those that are under the poverty line are headed by only one parent. So housing, childcare, and education, these are major issues that are quite difficult to address for those families. Those households need support. Our households need support. And a key area of that support is found in the fifth commandment. Respect your parents all your days. And that applies to you if you're 4, if you're 14, or if you're 44, or 58. Exodus 20, as we've been doing, we're going to read this together, verses 1 to 17. Let's read the text together. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and to the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Now take your bulletin and turn inside to Galatians 3:13. It's in a nice box there for you. And we'll read this together also. I'll wait for a moment. Let's read together Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. The law of God. Respect your parents all your days. The fifth commandment commands honor. Honor your parents. Honor your mother and your father. It means to attach weight to or to make heavy. That's the idea in the Hebrew. It means to show reverence, to hold in high opinion, really to affirm that the object is worthy of respect and obedience. So I want you to think for a moment. How many of you have had parents? Okay, this commandment is for you. Even if they're no longer here, there is something about continuing to honor your father and your mother. For the young child, it actually means obedience. So Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The parallel in Colossians 3 says, obey in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Children need to learn obedience. They need to learn immediate obedience without questioning. I grew up, I can hear my mother's voice ringing in my ear that delayed obedience is disobedience. I was to obey on my mother's timing, not on my time. I hear myself tell that to my students sometimes as well as they're studying ahead for a quiz in the next class, and I'll ask them, what book is that? What class is this? You study on your own time, not mine. And I realize that's what children are to do. They're to obey on their parents' time, not their own. Not when I get around to it, but when I am told. So children, and I'd realize that some of them have gone to children in worship, you are to obey immediately because your safety may depend on it. I remember hearing from a cousin one time who was told by his parent, don't move. Now he's out west and he's outside. He doesn't know why, but all he's told is, don't move. He was about to step on a rattlesnake, which he hadn't seen, and of course had not heard, but his parent saw it and realized the danger. A child who does not obey immediately can be in fatal danger. And the fact that you're all here means that hopefully you obeyed and avoided that. It's for our protection. And then as children mature, obedience fades. But the idea of honor and respect and reverence remain. Those are ongoing concerns. In later life, that might actually include financial support if necessary. Jesus deals with this in Matthew chapter 15 when he's in debate with the Pharisees. They want to know why he's doing certain things, and he turns the question back on them. Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you've made void the word of God. Jesus is reminding them of this commandment and says there is an obligation in your older age. And somehow they had learned to skirt this law by dedicating certain things to the Lord. It's kind of like a remainder trust. I'm going to donate this to this institution. They'll get it at death, but I get the benefit of it during my life. They're kind of doing that and saying, well, I can't really use this for my parents because I've given it to God, even though I'm still benefiting from it. So Jesus says, you're setting apart the law for the sake of tradition. Paul will write to Timothy, if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. Obedience is pleasing in the sight of God. Care for the old and the aged is pleasing in the sight of God. So this commandment is not simply for little children. It is for all of us as we age and as we watch our parents age. And how we interact with them. And that honor that we're to show them is to flow from love. There's to be a love for your parents. And I know for some of us that may be quite difficult. Because maybe your parent was difficult. Maybe some of you don't even know your parent. Maybe you grew up in one of those homes where there wasn't another parent. There was only a single parent for whatever reason. And that's a challenge, but we are still to honor our parents. And this commandment, like the third and the fourth that we've looked at, is a serious commandment. Punishments for dishonoring were severe. Exodus chapter 21, whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. And when we hear that, you might think, well, I never struck my parent, and I never cursed my parent. And I'm going to challenge you a little bit to say, you might not have ever cursed your parent audibly. But it probably happened in here. Whether you were 3 or 4 or 7, your parents didn't do what you wanted them to do. They made you do something you didn't want to do, and it was in here. Gets tougher. Deuteronomy. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, And they shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a drunkard and a glutton. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. It's Deuteronomy 21. Curse God, misuse his name, there's a death penalty attached. Don't honor his day, there is a death penalty attached. Dishonoring your parents, there is a death penalty attached. Rebellion against parents is rebellion against God, because he tells us, honor your father and your mother. It's rebellion against the ordained order for the family. For in many ways, parents, and particularly fathers on earth, represent the Father in heaven. Children learn early that it's from their parents, it's from their fathers that they get provision and protection and leadership and discipline. The things that the Father in heaven does, parents on earth do. And so for the child, the first step towards honoring God and hallowing his name is to honor his or her parents. And God makes this connection in Malachi chapter 1. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? It's a normal thing that children would honor their parents. And he says, I'm your father, where is my honor? These things are connected. And so this command then ripples through the broader society. Our catechisms develop this more. So the scripture says, you shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man. And you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. So there is a fundamental relationship of parents to children. And then there's a relationship to seasoned leadership in the broader community. And to resist such authority is to resist God's appointment. Paul argues that in Romans 13. But that's the tenor of this in the family. If you resist that parental authority, you're resisting God's appointment, as you would do if you were resisting civil authority. So it is crucial for children to learn obedience and honor in the home, that they might show obedience and honor to other authorities as well. How? Well, if you're a parent, you yourself need to walk obediently to God-ordained authorities. And if you have presented children for baptism here, you've made this promise. Do you promise to lead him or her by your example and parental discipline exercised in love, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all the relationships of life? What does it mean in one sense to seek first the kingdom of God? It's to live by the Ten Commandments. It's kind of fundamental that gets imprinted early. And then we walk by the Spirit and we don't need the law anymore. Not like that. Children grow up and they learn to just simply love their neighbor as themselves. They don't need the details, but little children need the details. Israel needed the details. Moses doesn't come down from Sinai and says, I've got two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. He has to come down and say, what does loving your neighbor look like? Well, don't steal from him. Don't kill him. Don't say cruel and malicious things about him. Just to really break that down, as we do as parents with our children. But we have to show it ourselves by our demeanor and by our way of life. And there's a positive reason attached. The third commandment has a negative reason. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The fifth commandment has a positive, that your days may be long. And over in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it adds, and that it may go well with you in the land that you're going to possess. So it's not just you get long life, it's actually that you flourish and that you will prosper. See, Canaan was a sign of God's blessing. And to live long in the land then meant to enjoy the favor of God, to enjoy that ongoing fellowship with him and with the saints. That's the same today. A long life is a gift from God. Provides time to enjoy his creation. Provides time to grow in holiness and sanctification. It gives us time to seek first the kingdom, to enjoy the work of our hands, to see our children and our children's children, and maybe even our great-grandchildren, and to seed into them. Long life gives us opportunity to tell what great things God has done. And our connection to our parents is lifelong. If you didn't have parents, you probably won't be one. We had parents. Whether you know them or not, you inherited some of your physical traits from them. In fact, probably inherited all of them from them. Your personality. There are things in you that are reminiscent of your parents. Some habits. Good ones and maybe not so good ones. Hopefully, though, you also inherited some wisdom. And there are things that you can remember, oh yeah, my parents said this, or my grandparents said this. Maybe you gained some insight. Hopefully, if you grew up in a Christian home, you learned loving God, how to love Jesus, how to walk by the Spirit, how to treasure his word, an appreciation for the church. But if you didn't honor your parents, can there really be that inheritance of blessing? You may have rejected those things. Maybe your parents tried to bring you up in the fear of the Lord, and you rejected that early on, and maybe you've returned to it, maybe you haven't. Maybe you're still in that process. Maybe some of you are even now thinking, do I want to continue under the authority of my parents? But for those who refuse to honor their parents, the opposite. There's often a shorter life. It's not guaranteed, but it's often shorter. It's often lonely. It's often futile because you didn't learn those things. If a child will not honor his or her parents, he or she is less likely to honor God, and in fact, is not honoring God in not honoring Perhaps they will go from home and they'll find themselves finally in a pigsty. That's the story that Jesus tells of the prodigal son. Prodigal is not a word you typically hear and you probably didn't use in the last week. But we attach it to this prodigal son. So what is prodigal? By the way, this is not a rhetorical question. Go ahead. What is prodigal? What's that? Wayward. I didn't use that this week either. Wastefully extravagant is a dictionary definition. Wastefully extravagant. But the prodigal son goes to his dad and says, I want my inheritance now. I can't wait until you're dead. And that can be interpreted two ways. I can't wait until you're dead, or I can't wait until you're dead. Yeah, either way, it doesn't sound right. But that's in essence what he asks. And then he squanders it and he finds himself in a pigsty. And then he realizes, comes to himself, how much better it was at home. And he repents. And it's a wonderful story of repentance and family reconciliation. Father, I have sinned against you and heaven. Forgive me. And he is forgiven. And maybe that needs to happen in some of our families. Forgiveness asked of parents and forgiveness granted by parents. The parents, bring up your children in the fear of the Lord. Children, honor your parents. Be submissive, teachable. Follow the example of Jesus, who has shown us how and who says to us, follow me. We've already read from Luke chapter 2, where the Son of God fulfilled the fifth commandment. The Son of God was made incarnate, fully man, fully God, born of Mary. He lived as part of a family. He had a mom and a dad. Along the way, he got some siblings, and he was under the authority of his parents, and he obeyed them. And Mary and Joseph, we've already read about it. Jesus gets left behind, or he is behind in Jerusalem. They finally find him. They have this conversation. And we read that he went down with them to Nazareth and was submissive. He shows the way. 12-year-olds find a will along the way. Maybe they find that will at 4. I'm not real sure, but children have a will. And Jesus at 12 submits his will to his parents. And I don't know, some of you might think back to moments in your younger days when you did not submit. Or you did submit with teeth gritted. Well, did you really submit? Heart wasn't submitted. I was physically submitted, but not spiritually and emotionally. And he grows up. And then in John chapter 2, we find him, Jesus, at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And there's a small emergency at the reception. They run out of wine. And Mary informs Jesus. Her son's there. She's there. They have no wine. We have to speculate. What did Mary think might happen? Why did she inform her son they have no wine? They're not at Nazareth. It's not like, hey, go to our own wine cellar and get some. Not real sure what Mary expected to happen. But Jesus respectfully asserts his independence at this moment. Woman, what does this have to do with me? He is gently informing Mary the relationship has changed. He's no longer obedient in that way. He is being respectful, though it sounds in our, why didn't he say mom? What does this have to, but uses a respectful word. Jesus is no longer merely her son, duty bound to obey. And she'll need to respect that. And he needs to continue to honor his mother. A little later on during his public ministry, there's another incident that highlights this changed relationship. Again, he's not dishonoring his mother. But while he's speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside asking to speak with him. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. The greater relationship is not based in the family by bonds of blood. It is of the Spirit. By faith, we are brought into an intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father in Christ. So Mary doesn't get to use her familial connection to somehow get to Jesus. Our connection is now of the Spirit. And Jesus gently informs all of us of that. You are welcome into the family of God through him. And then the last picture is at the cross, where Jesus has been crucified. And I don't understand quite how Mary could be there. It's hard to watch a child suffer. Some of you know that. But Mary is there at the crucifixion, seeing her firstborn nailed to a cross, shamefully exposed, and shamefully treated. And Jesus honors his mother to the end. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. He would not be able to care for his mother in her old age. And it's evident that Jesus' brothers at this point don't believe in him. So Jesus entrusts Mary to John. He takes care of his duty. He honors his mother. From first to last, Jesus fulfills this command to honor your father and your mother. And in that same way, we are to honor our parents. You are to honor your parents. And it's possible you've not. You've rebelled. You resisted. You dishonored them. Maybe you abandoned them. If not physically, maybe in your heart. The call today is to repent, to humble yourself, to seek their forgiveness if possible. And that may not be possible. But you can ask the Lord's forgiveness. And you can flee to Jesus and rest in Jesus because he obeyed for you and for me. He is the faithful son we should have been. He's the faithful child we should have been. And in that crucifixion, he took the punishment we deserved as the disobedient children we are and were. So in Christ today, by faith, purpose to honor your parents. That might even be to honor the memory of your parents. Give thanks for them. Bless them in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, every one of our families is different. The family is even different depending on if you're the firstborn or the youngest. We experience family life differently. And all of our families are marked by sin. Because parents and children are sinners, and we sin against one another. But Jesus, you lead the way, and you say, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Follow me in obeying and honoring your father and your mother. That your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God gives you. What a promise that is, because the land that you've promised to us, Jesus, is an eternal land, eternal life for the one who will follow you. Thank you for being the child we should have been, and thank you for bearing the guilt of the children we've actually been. We come to you and say, forgive us. By your Spirit, may we honor the parents you saw fit to give us. And may you get the glory as we do this, now and forever. Amen.